And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. You want to text on in, we'll take it. And boy, they're already lit up. So a couple things just to do before I start the dipper. Frank from Huntsville just texted in with a question. He goes, did we hear anything yet about Huntsville getting Space Force? I covered that a few days ago, and I double-checked again when I saw his text. As of right now, the most recent report is still that one I had 2 days ago, saying that the decision is still pending and the Air Force Secretary has it now. So it's big doings. We're waiting for Space Command to get its final announcement. I mean, there's no reason why it can't come to Alabama. There's really no reason. They have no good reason to change it. It'd be purely political if they do. So I think it's going to be here. Boomer, just so you know, I already rejected this. Firmly, without unequivocally.
All right,
but,
what's that?
Paul from Athens says, since I lost the bet, I have to wear your Alabama cap. And I ain't doing it. I'd rather have somebody say I read poetry to my men in Afghanistan than have to wear your smelly old Alabama hat, just so you know.
Thanks. Thanks. It is pretty ratty, but I like it.
there you go. With regards to the story in my monologue about Jim from Madison just texted in and said, Phil Williams, warrior poet and wooer of old ladies. God almighty. He said, but somehow he still cannot finish a triple dipper. I finished it yesterday. Thank you very much. That's Jim from Madison, who's both an OIF and OEF vet. Thank you for your service, sir. Thank you for your service.
And Paul's ragging on your triple dipper as well.
Oh,
just letting you know.
Is he? Okay. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? I love my audience. I love my audience. This is where at my house somebody will look at the other one and go, well, I just want you to know I love you in spite of yourself. That's where. All right. Hey, listen, judicial review, that's number one of the triple dipper. Judicial review, what I'm saying is there are things out there right now in legal world that are, they're actually big doings. I mean, stuff happens every day. Here at the local level, I'll be in court next week for a client. I've got things that I'm still working on, legally speaking. There's always something going before the Supreme Court, always something going for the state Supreme Courts, always something at an appellate level. But every once in a while, they're more like headline cases. And the term to look for is sometimes they become what are known as landmark cases or landmark rulings. The Dobbs decision most recently this year that overturned Roe v. Wade. Roe was a prior landmark case, which has now been overturned by Dobbs, which is a new landmark decision. It's that place where things have happened that truly impact society. Well, there's a lot of things happening right now that just deal with stuff that we've been watching and paying attention to, talking about on the show even. Like, for instance, President Biden has his plan that he knows he's not, I mean, he knows he can't just willy-nilly pay off everybody's student loan debt like he wants to. It doesn't work that way. The whole co-equal branches of government thing, Mr. President, you know better. Story here on National Review, dated yesterday. It says, against President Biden's executive despotism. Since August, it says, President Joe Biden, the restorer of norms in our nation, has 1, issued an executive order he knew full well was illegal, 2, altered the illegal executive order in an attempt to avoid judicial review, 3, asked the courts to allow him to proceed with his illegal executive order so that by the time it is inevitably struck down, the case will be rendered moot. Nope. This week, the courts have justly told him to just put it where the sun don't shine. So, yesterday, the Fifth Circuit refused to lift its stay while the case is pending. And then here's how Axios described it. A Texas judge's ruling blocking its student debt relief program was denied by a federal appeals court on Wednesday night. There's that. The Biden administration has announced that it would appeal the decision of the Fifth Circuit. Today, this is yesterday's report, today the Supreme Court responded to that appeal by blocking the order until oral arguments could be held in February. So what this basically means is this. Biden's trying to pay off student loan debt. He doesn't have the authority. Why? Because Congress never granted him that authority. He's trying to, and of course, here's an article I've got on the same topic from CNN. CNN points out, rightfully so, that Biden is attempting to rely upon the HEROES Act, the Higher Education Relief Opportunities for Students Act of 2003, which was never meant for this purpose. He's trying to claim that the pandemic, which he's already said is over, gives him the authority to provide extraordinary relief, like paying off somebody's student loan debt. Well, this is a gross abuse of the system. When you've got, literally, when you've got an opportunity for a president to just be, you know, the guy who decides what's constitutionally allowable, and, oh, by the way, do what Congress is supposed to do, which is the power of the purse, and then sign the executive order, well, at that point, we have a king. We don't have a president. Well, the courts are saying no. Now, listen, I got to tell you, too, I'm amazed. I shouldn't be, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed by the Biden administration's Solicitor General Elizabeth Preligar, when she was before the Supreme Court on this issue, asking that they allow for the injunction to be lifted. Now, first of all, by the way, this is still going to go forward for now. They're still going to have a trial on the merits. What they've done so far is what's called a preliminary injunction. They have stopped it from happening until they can have the actual case to determine whether it should happen or not. What you don't want to do is spend hundreds and hundreds of millions, perhaps billions, of tax dollars while it takes 3 years to conduct a case, only to find out later on, maybe you shouldn't have spent those tax dollars after all, and then they're already spent. No. You stop it in its tracks. You maintain the status quo. That's what they're saying. An injunction does. It maintains the status quo and prevents further harm, irreparable harm, and you go forward with the case and then decide what to do. Well, Biden's argument in court was, by leaving this injunction in place, it, quote, you ready for this? It leaves millions of economically vulnerable borrowers in limbo, uncertain about the size of their debt, and unable to make financial decisions with an accurate understanding of their future repayment obligations. That's the biggest load of crap I have ever heard in my life. They signed up for a loan. They're making payments or they're not. They know what the size of their debt is. They know whether they can afford a pizza tomorrow or not. They know how to, I hope they know how to balance their checkbook. The reality is this. You cannot say, poor, poor people, they took out a loan and signed up for it, and they got the benefit of it. And it's a contractual obligation, but we should relieve them because now they're economically vulnerable. That's the biggest, and all that in a participation trophy, too. There you go. All right, next story. Trump lost in a recent court action. All right, so this just happened. All right, this storyline on Reuters dated yesterday. U.S. Appeals Court rules against Trump and documents fight ends the arbiter. So what happened is this. You remember the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which I still think was egregious. I mean, this is unheard of. This is a presidential candidate, a former president of the United States, who had been, by the way, negotiating with the FBI about documents and did exactly what they said, which is put him under lock and key. And what did they do? They raided his house. Knowing full well he wasn't home, they raided his house, and they seized a whole lot more than just the documents that were in that that room. In the course of it, they find some that are marked secret or top secret. I don't know which. And the argument that I have is that the President of the United States is the ultimate determiner as to what is considered classified or not. So, Mr. President, if you have a document out there that says, here's where I signed off on declassifying those things, you better pull it out of your hat. But right now, he has that authority. Hopefully he acted on it correctly. But what he first asked was, stop what you're doing. You should not be allowed to pursue this investigation with me until someone, a independent third party, has reviewed these documents to make sure they really fit the bill. Well, originally it was said, okay, we'll have a third party special master, they call it, to review the documents, just to determine whether or not there is something there that needs to be considered a part of an investigation. Well, a three-judge 11th Circuit panel said yesterday that the lower court judge lacked the authority to have granted that request, and basically overturned the decision to bar investigators from being able to access the records while the review is still pending. So the bottom line is this. The FBI is going to get to go through all the documents, which they've already been doing, I guarantee you. They've already photocopied every single one of them, scanned them, and sat around having a s'mores around the campfire while they just look through them all. They seize 11,000 records, including about 100 that are marked classified. The 11th Circuit said that while a search warrant for a former president's property is extraordinary, it did not give, quote, the judiciary license to interfere in an ongoing investigation. The law is clear. We cannot write a rule that allows any subject of a search warrant to block government investigations after the execution of the warrant. A member of that three-judge panel, Judge William Pryor from Alabama, a typically very conservative jurist, appointed by Bush. He is sitting on the 11th Circuit. Trump is likely to appeal. There's that. Judicial review. I mean, these are things that are impacting us on a daily basis. I'm about to get into some about vaccine mandates. And then top of the hour, we'll be talking to my friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty about a case before the Supreme Court right now. In the meantime, Boomer, let's go ahead and take the break. It is that time. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. Number one of the Triple Dipper, judicial review. What's happening in the court systems? What are they saying? Oh, hey, Air Force, how about that vaccine mandate? I'll tell you about it in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Well, hey, listen, by the way, we got a bunch of texters telling us that audio just went off on one of our stations, so we appreciate that. Listen, we have a remote studio. It's at one of the stations. They're working the issue right now, so we're going to keep talking like the show is on. And for those of y'all that might be experiencing difficulties, we apologize. But all will be good here shortly. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Judicial review. Well, I'll tell you what, one of the things that is getting a lot of judicial review is the Biden vaccine mandates. I mean, it's in whatever category. We had so many different versions of mandates. We had, of course, we had the military mandate, which is still the only one left standing, I think. No, I take it back. There's also the healthcare worker mandate, which is, there's no reason for it. We had mandates in federal contractors. We had mandates in private employers. We had it was across the board. It was one of the biggest and most egregious overreaches of governance that I've ever seen. Well, most of it just got slapped down. Some of it's still out there. Story here on Fox News dated November 29th. So what? 3 days ago? 4 days ago? And by the way, thank you, Boomer. I see that. So we're good. And the Birmingham stations are all good. So we're checking that. I think the issue is in our WVNN Huntsville affiliate. We're working it. But anyway, story on FoxNews.com. Appeals court says the Air Force wrongly relied on a broad formula to deny religious objections. So here's the deal. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals on Tuesday upheld an injunction protecting unvaccinated Air Force service members from being punished. The bottom line is this, y'all. The court said they found what they called generalized assessments of religious accommodation requests as opposed to what are supposed to be individualized assessments, meaning blanket denials. That's what it means. The court said the Air Force had an unlawful uniform practice of denying religious exemptions to anyone who wants to remain in the service. This is asinine. And by the way, do I fault the military leaders? Yeah. But they were also being forced into an untenable position. The civilian sector of the military oversight was forcing the issue down upon the green suitor leadership and telling them, you will do it this way and you will just deny them. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. Religious accommodation is supposed to be an individualized review with a case-by-case basis of every single one of them. And right now, there's 10,000 unvaccinated active duty reserve and National Guard, Air Force, and Space Force members who are pending religious exemption requests who were just denied, just blanket denials. It's not supposed to happen that way. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld an injunction that prevents any of those Air Force members from receiving any punishment for it. Now, listen, I will tell you, too, this is going to keep going. right now, it's not quite judicial. It's legislative. But I will tell you this, that in regards to the vaccine mandate still being fought in court, and the overwhelming response that we're seeing in the court system to recognizing this was an overreach, Congress is saying that once the Republicans take charge, they are going to make sure that they do all they can to have that vaccine mandate on the military also rescinded. It makes no sense that all of society is getting back to normal and that they don't have the mandates anymore. And the one place in our nation where we are still enforcing it virtually arbitrarily now, it would seem, is in the military. So the courts are winning. We're winning in the courts on the question of civilian sector, where we're not seeing enough. We are seeing injunctions, but we're not seeing enough total relief is on the vaccine mandate for the military. But several Republicans, according to NBC News, dated November 30th, several Republicans are warning they will drag out the Senate considerations of a massive military policy bill unless they get a vote on ending a COVID vaccine mandate for service members. Seven senators said they would withhold any quick consideration of the National Defense Authorization Act if they're not allowed a floor vote on their proposal. Rand Paul's leading the charge on this. Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Ron Johnson, and others, and Rick Scott, all saying enough's enough. We've got injunctions in place right now. The courts are agreeing. You can't just do this in the way they've been doing it. We're winning in every other capacity in the courts. Why would you not? All right. Last one I've got for you before we get Matt Clark on here. Court rejects, this is Fox News again, November 25th. So this is about a week ago. Court rejects San Diego School District's COVID vaccine mandate. The California 4th District Court of Appeals ruled against the San Diego Unified School District's COVID-19. Now, can you imagine this? In San Diego, the school district just decided arbitrarily, we're going to have our own COVID mandate. You can't come to school. What? Yeah, you can't come to school. Here's their argument. They said that they were allowed to do this because it was not really a mandate, because the option was for students to do an at-home independent study if they chose not to get their shots. Yeah, okay. So you're not allowed to participate in sports. You can't get the quality education that a classroom provides. We'll let you log in online, you know. And if we let you log in online, hey, it's not really a mandate then, is it? Knuckleheads. Well, the California 4th District Court of Appeals ruled against them. On Tuesday, the appellate court agreed with a lower court ruling that said the school district does not even have the authority to establish its own mandate. Yay! This was not even an injunction. This is a smackdown. This is like saying, hey, what were you thinking? I mean, like, not for nothing here, but what are you thinking? So, in May, they said, we're going to do our own mandate because that's who we are. And now here we are in November. They should be done. They are weighing out whether or not they want to appeal this further, the school district. But right now, why would you? Because apparently the kids are in school, and they have been all along. And, oh, by the way, the system didn't come to a screeching halt. And hospitals are not overrun. And life is continuing. And yet you want to appeal it, and maybe a year from now, try to see if you can get them thrown out of school again. Knuckleheads. And these are people in charge of school districts. These people get elected, by the way. I assume they are. They might be appointed. Either way, wow. All right, listen. Coming back in a minute after the break, and we'll be checking to make sure that all of our tech is back online at the Huntsville affiliates. It's on here in the right side of the studio. We know that, right, Booms?
We're good here, and we also have our live video cast. So if they can't tune in, they can go to the website as well right now.
Oh,
and pull it up, perfect. And so they can listen that way as well.
I should have said that earlier. That's why you get paid to be here to keep me on track. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back with Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.